Come on to my house, my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. So today we're out at beautiful Camp Grant Ranch, and that's in Red Crest, California, and we're talking with John Laboito.
This is beautiful.
The Camp Grant Valley. This is typical of the inland farmland. Terraces along the river. You know, the river, all this soil, the river put it here at flood stage. We're on the inside of the bend, so that's where the water slows down and deposits. Some farmer, they said they dug a hand-dug well out here in the orchard. And they went down 30 feet before they found the first rock.
Huh.
So that's
a lot of layers of
lots
mud.
Lots of silt.
Yeah.
Just excellent, excellent soil.
And it looks like you have like a diverse mixture of things going on here. We're sitting in a beautiful orchard, so I know you raise a certain amount of fruit. What type of fruit
trees? This has got to be the biggest apple crop we have ever had here at Camp Grant. I mean, at least maybe the former owner, I don't know, but most of this orchard is apples. Gravenstein's, Golden Delicious, some John of Gold's, some Altana, and we're juicing just continue. I mean, every week we're juicing now.
Where do you sell your juice?
We do not pasteurized juice, fresh juice. So, as you know, you cannot wholesale that. So, you know, you can sell it off the farm. I can sell it at the farmer's market, direct marketing. Garberville and Miranda are my two main markets where you can get my juice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried some hard cider with that juice?
Well, I haven't, but my tenant has. It was really interesting. He made some wonderful hard cider last year, and I'm trying to encourage him to do it some more because he made the cider, and then somebody bought me a six-pack of Brand X, and we tried them side by side, and there was no compare. I mean, Jesse's cider was, I mean,
fantastic.
His hard cider was just fantastic, yeah.
And how long have you been farming here?
Well, you know, my organic certification, I noticed, began in 1987, but I think I was here for a couple of years before that.
And organic farming, why is that important to you?
I'm third generation removed from agriculture. My grandfather came from a farming family. My parents were the generation that fled the farm and went back to World War II, went back to the cities. You know, it was still in the blood. I spent a lot of time on my grandfather's retirement farm in Healdsburg. You know, I can remember the first or second year in Shively, you know, thinking about we started to have pest issues or management issues and starting to think, you know, let's just see if we can do without those pesticides. Let's see if there's not another way. And it, you know, it just kind of grew from there. And I got more involved in the organic farming movement and, you know, ultimately became the state certification chairman for CCUF for a couple of years and helped write both the state and national Organic Food Act. And there was very little that, you know, we couldn't find a solution for if you just worked on it. There's a couple things I'm still working on.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things I want to do in retirement is, because I'm semi-retired now, I mean, even though we did do wheat, I can't totally retire. I mean, what are you going to do? Let all the apples fall on the ground or something? You know, I can't do that. So, but there's a couple things I want to work on, and one of them has been this grains project in the county, you know, getting that going, and that seems like it's taken off. And the other thing we got to figure out is we got to figure out an organic solution for corn earworm. Huge amount of pesticide used on spraying corn. So, I mean, I think, you know, if we could find a solution to corn earworm, it sounds like such a simple thing, but it's not.
Well, let's talk about the grains, because that's an exciting new project that you've been involved with. And historically, Humboldt County has grown a lot of wheat.
15,000 acres of grain. 15,000
acres.
You know, I mean, I don't know where they put it all. There was a move to create a granary on Humboldt Bay, but I think that happened about the time maybe the railroad eclipsed that. I'm not sure. You know, I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize that the coastal counties, and Humboldt included and others, were at one time the major agricultural producers in the state. You know, but when Central Valley agriculture, San Joaquin and Sacramento Valley began to develop through transportation and water projects, particularly water projects, you know, the whole shift of agriculture in California changed. Going back to grain for a minute, the guys that didn't make it in the gold rush, it was a lot of cheap land. You know, they were able to raise huge amounts of grain on maybe what was the former Spanish land grants and all these things. And that's how California actually became an agricultural export power, was that it began with wheat. Here in Humboldt, the idea is to raise wheat and sell it directly to local bakeries. We have three bakeries in Humboldt County to whom we're selling local wheat, and they're producing bread. And, you know, it really is working out. People are very enthusiastic about hearing about, yeah, wow, not only was the bread made here, but the wheat was grown here. And we trialed 8 different varieties, and we've sent them off for protein testing. That all came back very good. Now the rubber's going to hit the road here, because we're going to give the bakers samples, you know, like 10-pound samples of each one, and they're going to do a blind baking test. They're not going to know what they're working with and see which ones they like. You know, I'll give you a hint. There were 4 heirlooms and there were 4 modern varieties. We're supplying the bakeries. We have a lot of wheat stored up at the industrial park at Red Crest. I think we harvested 15 or 20,000 pounds in Humboldt County this year, which is not a great deal, but it's enough to keep these bakeries going, at least, you know, for the whole wheat side of their operation. And I think probably the unique thing about each of these bakeries is that they have an in-bakery mill. So we're not dealing with any middlemen in this situation. We're not selling to a granary who's selling to a miller who's making the flour and selling it back to the baker. What's happening here is that the farmer's taking on the cleaning aspect of the grain, while the baker is taking on the milling aspect of the grain.
When we think of wheat, sometimes we think of these gigantic machines moving down these huge acreages to process, to do what they need to do in terms of harvesting the wheat. Now, are you finding that you're having to revive some of these older pieces of farm equipment to do this?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sorry my combine's not here so you can see it, but we've had to kind of step back a few years, find machinery that will fit on the farms in Humboldt County. And, you know, I mean, and we've got everything from a machine that will cut maybe 4 feet wide to one that will cut 10 feet wide, but it can still make it through the gate. You know, uh-huh. You got to be able to get it through the gate. And imagine, you know, I mean, trying to move a machine, even a machine that's 10 or 12 feet wide, you know, just bringing it down the Avenue of the Giants to the farm here. I mean, this is kind of a slow, you got to be a slow, careful process. You know, I can't take it on the freeway. We'd have to partly disassemble it to take it on the freeway. That's how we got it down from Washington. Most of them are like that. So machines generally were of that scale in the 50s and the 60s.
So, John, how do you sell your wheat and where do you sell it?
Well, I've been primarily selling to 2 bakers. One is Glee Brandon at Lost Coast Bakery in Ferndale. And in many ways, Glee was a seed that got all this started. She was the first one who came here with a mill and said, you know, I can still remember the conversation at Ferndale Farmers Market. John, do you think you could raise some wheat for my bakery? You know, and I'm thinking about that. And she says, oh, by the way, here, try my apricot.
she was bribing you.
Yeah, turn over here. Yeah. Anyway, but, you know, so she's really been a pioneer. And then there's Beck's Bakery in Arcata, Rhonda Wiedenbeck. And she had some backing, clearly, to set up that bakery, and she was able to do it on a larger scale, you know, and we're selling quite a lot of wheat to Beck's.
Mm-hmm. And she's got a mill right
she's
there.
She's got, she has a 20-inch Meadows mill that's capable of 300 or 400 pounds of flour an hour, you know, and I mean, this is beyond what she uses in the bakery. She's selling flour to other restaurants in Eureka. She's selling milling for other people. And let me say this. This whole thing, the only reason it's worked has been the cooperation between the bakers and the farmers. If it hadn't been like that, we, you know, the farmers would have never thought of it, and the bakers would have gone to other places.
But. Sure. I was thinking about Kevin and Melanie Cunningham, too, and their role in this.
Yeah, you're right. Kevin and Melanie were probably, they were the first people that I know of to start raising grain. And they did a grain CSA. And they were milling a little flour and selling it at the market. Yeah, it's true. They were also definitely pioneers.
Well, this has been a great opportunity to be out here at beautiful Camp Grant Ranch and talking to John Loboito. Thanks so much.
Glad to see you guys.
Grapes and the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.